Yes, welcome back to the final part of the show here on Wednesday's edition of World Football Daily. I'm delighted to introduce the World Football Daily airwaves to a man who I know very well, is a top journalist and a top friend as well. He's new to World Football Daily on the podcast stream, the Park the Puss boys, led by their captain, John Fernandez, joining me on the show right now. John, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good, Ollie, good. Park the Bus captain, putting it very nicely there, but I suppose the driver, maybe.
The driver, so you're the guy parking it in front of Jose Mourinho's goal, are you, yeah?
Absolutely. I think we actually came up with the podcast idea, Park the Bus, when Chelsea were doing well in the Champions League, so we thought it was a great advertisement, really, for our podcast, what Mr. Di Matteo was doing.
Right, yeah, rather fitting to kind of sum up English football's attitude around Europe there with your podcast. But let's get into a little bit of European football, John, before we chat about you and the boys and what you're up to this week. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Arsenal against Bayern last night. We've touched on it in the show today. Is this the final straw for Arsene Wenger? I mean... The national paper's saying that Mourinho is now, it's his time to come in, even Neil Ashton in the Daily Mail saying that today.
Well, firstly, whenever I think about Arsene Wenger, I think there's a man who's come in and he's gone about football the right way. He wanted to play good passing football. He came in, he wanted to bring in the youth team players. And he's revolutionised their youth setup. He's revolutionised the club. They used to be boring Arsenal, who won 1-0 every weekend. Now they're a metropolitan team full of different nationalities, who've had a very good time and who've had, you know, a very long time of success with Wenger. And it's scary to think that, you know, one bad season and people are praying for blood. I mean, okay, there's no trophies in 8 years, but I have an immense amount of respect for the man. Last night, I mean, okay, they didn't look good, but Bayern are a special club. They are at the moment. They are, when you look at the bench and there are players like Mario Gomez, Iron Robin, and Shaqiri on the bench, you just see the quality they've got. So I just really cannot agree with anybody saying that it's Wenger's time to go. He deserves to stay there for or as long as he can.
How much of the problems then that surround Wenger? A lot of the calls that we hear for Wenger out are people saying, I pay £62 a game to watch this side and I don't feel I'm getting my money's worth. That's why I want Wenger out. I want someone that will spend. So if Arsenal reduced the ticket prices and you weren't paying as much, would there be as many problems, do you think?
Oh, the ticket prices around Arsenal, I think that's another really big issue, but you know, they are paying the most in the Premier League to watch their club. And, okay, they may have dealt with that when they were challenging for the title. But, with you know, in this age of Manchester dominance, you can't really see Arsenal challenging for the title. So it's a really difficult one. The ticket price is going down. You'd lose the club's fiscal, you know, stability. So I can't say that would solve everything. You know, I think what Arsenal fans are used to are, you know, a quality team full of players who are fighting for the cause. And last night, I look at the team sheet and I saw a lot of players who I just thought aren't up to the standard. You know, Aaron Ramsey in a Champions League game, he's continually proving in the Premier League that he is not good enough to play for a top four club. And the sooner people like Wenger realise that, the better, because okay, they brought in the names, people like Podolski, people like Cazorla in the summer, and that's what Arsenal fans wanted. They wanted big signings, but you know, that sooner or later, you know, they need to realise that some of the players that they've got, the Ramseys, the Rositskis, even Diaby, we were saying earlier in the season, he's playing very well. They are not good enough for a top four side, in my opinion. Even Bakary Sagna, you know, seen as one of the best right backs in the Premier League a few seasons ago, he's been awful this season, and you just gotta realise that Wenger's keeping faith with these players when they are just not good enough anymore.
How much in part then does Wenger need a helping hand in the transfer window in terms of judging players and picking out players to go for? Because over the last few seasons, you look at some of the players he's brought in, like Chu Yong Park, like Jovinho, like Andre Santos. That was only in 2011-12 that season. That's three kind of flops that they've had at that club just in that one transfer window that have cost them a pretty penny.
You've forgotten one of Arsenal's favourites flops there, Mr. Shamak as well. I mean, when you see clubs like Newcastle doing so well because of dipping into the French market and their fantastic scouting system, I mean, a player like Johan Gabay, who Newcastle got in the 2011 transfer window, he would fit seamlessly into the Arsenal team. Him and Wilshere Holding would be a fantastic bit. So, you know, maybe you do have to look at the scouting system at the club and say that it's not good enough at the moment because, okay, players like Cazorla and Podolski, who I said they brought in, who are talented, it's not exactly like unearthing any gems there, you know, because Santi Cazorla is a Spanish international and Podolski's been playing for Germany for the last, 5 years. So just the scouting system, I can't say I'm an expert with knowing what's going on behind the scenes at Arsenal, but you know, they're obviously not getting the kind of players in that they used to. You know, Henri from Juventus, people thought he'd never make it in the Premier League, and then he went on to be, the second highest or one of the top scorers in the Premier League's history. So, I would like to think that Wenger's still got it with regards to bringing over players from foreign markets like France, but even looking at a player like Laurent Koscielny, who for the last two seasons has kind of come in and out of the team and just not looked anything special, not looked like a top four team defender, if you could even class him, you know, as an Arsenal player. He's just not been good enough. As well, Mertesacker, I expected him to come in as a full German international playing for Germany for so long and be imperious in the Premier League. And he's been, you know, completely off the pace.
Yeah, a massive disappointment pair, Mertesacker for Arsenal, and that back four done nothing to strengthen it. If people are saying that Wenger has to go, who at the moment though do you think takes on those reins at Arsenal? I mean, John, there's a whole host of names out there that have been thrown around. You know, people saying Mancini, Mourinho, Jurgen Klopp, David Moyes. But are any of these realistic targets that Arsenal would want to bring in, or who would want to leave their current clubs to go to Arsenal?
I think you've hit the nail on the head. Why would David Moyes want to leave Everton when they're one place off and he's loved by the fans there? Mourinho, I just can't see him coming to Arsenal. I don't think he's an Arsenal kind of manager. And Klopp, again, I can't see him leaving Dortmund. Out of managers who are out of work or in work and are being linked with the Arsenal job, It's a poison chalice. You're coming in after a man who's had so much success with the club, and you're inheriting a squad who simply aren't good enough at the moment. So, especially halfway through the season, if Wenger was to go, unless they could bring in somebody like Mourinho, who does have a track record, then they really will struggle. And I cannot see top managers wanting to go to Arsenal. You know, they would definitely be looking at, you know, I'd worry that they'd go for somebody, you know, known for passing football, somebody like Roberto Martinez from Wigan, but he's only had track experience at Wigan and Swansea. So,
it's you know, It is a difficult job to find the right man for, John. We'll have to move away from Arsenal for just a sec, because of course there are two big games in the Champions League tonight, mate. You're a man of the European footballing world. You know Italian, German, Spanish. Barcelona against AC Milan, two of the biggest giants in European football. Everybody's writing off Milan so early. Do you give them half a chance against Barca tonight in the San Siro as well?
No, I don't give them a chance tonight. AC Milan are a shadow of what they used to be. We were talking about this last night, and I simply can't see. You know, they're already 3-1 down on aggregate. Okay, they are at the San Siro, but you look at the AC Milan team. Oh, sorry, no, they're not 3-0 down. Sorry, that was last week, last year. No, I simply cannot see them doing well against Barcelona. The quality that Barcelona have in their squad is you wouldn't see an AC Milan player who could get into the Barcelona lineup. I mean, AC Milan with Balotelli cup tied, they'll be relying on El Shaarawy for goals, who, while he's been good in Italy, he's not the quality of Messi or of Sanchez or Pedro even. Mexes in back four, he's again nothing special, an international defender who, you know, playing in the same kind of league as Lauren Koscielny, as I was saying before. So AC Milan are going to have to pull something very special out of the bag, or Barcelona are going to have a bad day at the office, or I can only see Barcelona winning. I mean, AC Milan will give them a game. You know, there's no doubt about that. They do have some good players, but I can see Barcelona winning, you know, 2-0, 3-0, and Milan struggling to get a goal.
How do you play against Barca if your back's already a bit against the wall, like Milan's will be tonight? Do you try and press them up their own pitch in their own half? Do you try and just sit back and soak up the pressure? How would you tackle this if you were Milan tonight?
How would I tackle it? Well, it would be a classic park the bus situation. It really would. You can't match them. You know, take Champions League final in 2011. Manchester United tried to match their pressing game, tried to play at the same intensity that Barcelona do, and they couldn't. Simply, they couldn't. And a Barcelona team who are in form, as they are at the moment in La Liga, they're going to be running riots. So, if AC Milan, you know, as a manager, you'd struggle to send any team out saying, oh, you know, just sit back and let the pressure come on. But it really does. It really is one of those days when Milan are going to have to soak up a lot of pressure, and they're going to have to play some extremely good counter-attacking football. So their wing backs are going to be very important in this game, and how to deal with the threat down the sides from Barcelona as well.
There is, of course, another game in the Champions League tonight, John. Schalke taking on Galatasaray in Turkey. This is a Galatasaray side that, when the draw was made, people were saying, you know, Schalke should be getting through this nice and easy. Yes, they've got Eboué and Antiltop, but aside from that, should be a walk in the park for the Germans. Throw in Schneider and Drogba into the mix. How much does it change the setup for this tie?
I think throwing Schneider and Drogba into the mix is huge. I mean, I can't say I've seen how well Didier Drogba and Wesley Schneider have done since they've moved to Galatasaray, but Schneider is quality. You know, there is quality there, and Drogba scores goals. There will be trouble for Schalke. Schalke with Huntelaar up front, always a threat as well. Now, the loss of Holtby over the winter period is a shame, obviously, for them. But they do have a good squad. Players like Julian Draxler and others will be able to step in and should do well for Schalke. I think. I am struggling to see the Turkish side winning, but Galatasaray at home, it's a daunting place to go at any time. And I think if Galatasaray are to get anything out of this tie, they are going to have to win at home and take a good result to Germany.
It is an intimidating place to go. Schalke haven't had a great time in the Bundesliga of recent weeks. The form has been on and off for the last month and a half or so. New manager Jens Keller comes in as well. How much would a Champions League run just settle the ship, do you think, at Schalke?
Oh, it'd be huge. I mean, they're a big club in Germany, and as you said, they have not been faring particularly well in the Bundesliga. So a cup run, especially, I mean, if you do look at the tie, you know, Galatasaray, of the teams that they could have picked, they could have picked a lot harder. So it's going to be very important that Schalke aren't intimidated tonight by the hostile atmosphere, and that they do get under a good start, because, you know, the manager is under pressure at the moment, and a win in the Champions League and taking a good result back home will be a great way to a great bit of positive PR for the club, I think.
A great bit of positive PR, of course, is always being able to add a new podcast to worldfootballdaily.com. And John, you boys are the most recent additions to the site. Let us know, what's Park the Bus all about here? For people that haven't had a chance to get on the site, what are we all about here with Park the Bus?
Well, Park the Bus, we started about a year ago. And Park the Bus is, it's as simple as it comes. It's five men in a room shouting about football. It's... It's gets shouty. It's not easy listening at some weeks because we don't agree on a lot of things, and we all have our specific interests. I mean, we've got Scott, who supports Blue Square Premier League side Lincoln, and who is a fond admirer of old England players like Michael Owen. We've got Ewan, who is a big fan of everything Sheffield United. Worships at the feet of... Sorry, Oliver, you're not going to enjoy this, but he worships at the feet of Phil Jagielka, Carl Walker, even Matthew Loughton. And, he's a Sheffield United fan who loves a stat. Then we've got Joe Coleman, who's our resident Italian football expert, a Juventus fan, and a Manchester United fan who, as all Manchester United fans are, is not from Manchester. So get that. Then we have Steve, who is a Norwich fan. A long-suffering Norwich fan enjoying their period of relative glory. And, well, not enjoying the dullness of their results lately. And then there's me, who presents it all, a Peterborough fan, and tries to keep the debate in a formal manner. But often it's me looking a bit stupid and the rest of the panel telling me why I'm so very wrong. So if you do want to know exactly what's going on in the Premier League and what we think about it, then I definitely would tune in. It's a good listen. We just spoke about the FA Cup and the big upsets at the weekend, and the topic of our podcast mainly this week was Arsenal again. It was Arsenal. Where have they gone? Where's the vintage Arsenal squads of old gone, and what's happened? Hopefully you enjoy that.
I'm sure plenty of Arsenal fans are wondering the exact same thing. And if you're looking for the answer, you can check out the Part of the Bus podcast this week on worldfootballdaily.com. John, a pleasure to have you on the show, mate. Always love a good catch up with you talking about football. And of course, we'll all be tuning in to Part of the Bus and hoping that blade doesn't get on it this week, mate.
we try and shut him up, but it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, Ollie.
Take care, John. Have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy the football this evening, mate.
Thanks, Oliver. Cheers.
John Fernandez joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things Champions League and, of course, catching up with the Part of the Bus boys, you in there, the Blade on that show. I mean, if I...
Is that not allowed within the World Football Daily family? Are we not allowed to have...